It's time to tee off with Dirt and Sprague.
That's a great shot without swing.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Open Championship Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Cool on, my son. Get it out there. That's more like it.
The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hello, hello, hello. Happy Friday, everybody.
What is happening?
After a long, lengthy time of people saying, when is it going to happen?
When's it going to take place?
Will he ever don the jersey again? TJ Watt got a hell of a deal yesterday,
dude,
didn't he?
Just got paid, man.
TJ Watt news.
You
big.
See the graphic, like, I know that pay has changed in the NFL, that he, in this contract, is going to make more than JJ Watt did as an entire career.
Yeah, that's why JJ Watt said, you're picking up the check forever.
Like, I know that guys make more now than they did, you know, 7, 8, 9 years ago. That blew me away. Like, how is that possible? JJ Watt was dominant for 10 years.
He's like a storybook franchise player. People were wondering, is he gonna come back? Is he gonna get traded? What's
him in
happen?
Another uniform would be very weird.
It'd be so weird.
You can't let that happen.
Oh my
because
God.
Because it's just strange. And when you got a household favorite like that, you gotta keep him in town.
And then the big breaking news comes out. And it's like, he's back. And I'm like, he's back? A contract? TJ Watt. Couldn't believe it yesterday. The story of the day yesterday.
I mean, I thought the story of the day was Brian Harman being in the lead at the Open Championship. Of all the people, no. No. For the love of God.
No one cares.
Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it, Royal Portrush.
I hate to tell you this, but with the news that really did happen locally, I don't know if this tournament's ever been more irrelevant to more sports fans than right now in this area.
In our city?
In our bubble?
100% correct. There is not a person alive that cares more about the Open Championship than what happened yesterday.
Yeah.
In our market. Outside of our market, you know, whatever. It's, that's cool. But inside our market, 100%.
Like, who cares the most about what's happening right now? Is it you? Is it Swag? Is it Rop? I don't.
Oh, of the Open Championship?
Yeah, because it's completely... the other thing is, timing-wise, I don't know if it's always this date, but this year it just coincides with, I'm going to, like, a glamping coastal getaway.
Yeah, getting away for the weekend.
Show.
Yeah.
I'm not going to catch anything Saturday, and I'll be lucky to get home just in time for the final, like, four holes of it Sunday.
I've had weekends like that for the Open in the last handful of years, where you've gone, like, to the coast, and then you're like, oh, damn it, I planned a beach trip the weekend of the Open Championship.
Well, it's often that week for us. It's right before usually either Big Ten or Pac-12 media days. We're getting our last, like, getaway in before we hunker down for football
season. So I'm going to miss, and I didn't watch anything yesterday when I got home, and I'm watching it today. I won't watch it after I leave. I'm not going to see most of this tournament.
I mean, it's fine.
I just want to be honest with you guys.
That's okay. We're in the trust tree here. We're in the nest. It's all right. I'm not going to take shots at you.
I'll see who won. I'll see how it ends, but that's it.
It's nice because it is the one, if you are sitting at home watching, it's early in the morning, so it doesn't eat up your entire day. Like the U.S. Open, remember we had that rain delay, and it was like all day. It didn't end until like 5 o'clock at night, so you're like on Father's Day just sitting there like, babe, 2 more hours.
They replayed a major.
Yes, in the middle of the rain delay, so that's how it goes. That's one of the benefits of the Open Championship, but I don't blame you at all for having that take. Leaderboard will be determining on how exciting it will be.
If it's
Brian Harman, nobody cares.
Thank you.
Nobody cares.
Glad we're in that
and
together.
I don't even care. If he's got a 3-shot lead on Sunday, I might not even watch because I don't want to watch him waggle.
Now, where were you when? Seems to kind of be our theme this summer with our Trailblazers, huh?
I got back from a wonderful appointment with our friends at Trajan Wealth, and I walked into the kitchen, and I'm unpacking some stuff. Little guy's taking a nap, and it was one of those, like, all of a sudden, it just caught fire. It felt like we went from 0 to 100 really quick of, like, this might happen to, wait a minute. It happened.
It's done.
Not like we're speculating in the coming days this agreement might be reached. It went from, we think there's some mutual interest to, he signed a 3-year, $42 million contract in like 10 minutes.
So I was working out, So I'm in my garage gym, and I just happened to be in between a rep, and I went, anything happen?
Scroll.
I opened it quickly. Zach Lowe, first tweet I saw.
Yeah.
There's mutual interest between Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers. Now, I hear what you're saying. 10 minutes later, he signed. When I see Zach Lowe tweet, he doesn't do transactional tweets.
No, he does not.
So if Zach Lowe's tweeting that, that's a done deal in my brain.
Yeah.
And maybe a second later, I pull it down to refresh it, because if Zach Lowe's tweeting this, it's got to break.
Yeah.
Bill Orem.
Yeah.
There we
Trailblazers
go.
And Dame Lillard finalizing a 3-year deal, and I went,
whoa.
What?
Whoa.
And then I responded to it, and then you go back and refresh, Shams Charania, 3 years, $42 million deal. What?
It happened so quickly that I tried to get a poll question up on our show page, and in the time that I started writing the poll question to posting the poll question,
It aged poorly
because I said, it's being reported they're in communication about a reunion.
I saw that.
And by the time I posted it, I'm like, oh, great, 3 years, $42 million. I could have said he signed it. And I'm like, dude, I'm not deleting it and posting it again. Everybody gets the point, but that's how fast things move yesterday.
That was the unfortunate part. I saw that poll question. I went, dude, this guy's already late. He's already late.
It was too quick for me. I didn't see it coming that fast, man. That's what she said.
I don't think anybody did. That was nuts.
It was a bananas day yesterday. An absolute bananas day yesterday. And it's the reaction in this city has been really fun to watch from people of the vibes are back, baby.
The vibes are back. I mean, look, you can't argue with that. Vibes are definitely back.
You cannot knock the vibes in Rip City right now.
No.
The vibes are off the charts.
Well, and, you know, we had talked about potentially it happening, but most of us just thought this was going to be after the next team.
Yeah, I got wind of
that was the universal feeling.
That he would retire as a Blazer
like the
at
last
some point.
Year or two of his career, he signs like a vet min, he comes back, oh, Damian Lillard, and he waves his hand, he scores 8 points.
Yes, like, I'm thinking Gary Payton in a Miami Heat uniform. That's where my mind is going. And I know that's not the reunion, but that's the kind of player and the role that I foresaw coming in the years ahead. Not quite this quickly. Felt like every intel and everybody who is, quote unquote, plugged in was saying, this probably won't happen for a while. And then all of a sudden, boom, there you go. Lillard's in a Blazer uniform again.
He's back.
He's back, baby.
He's freaking back.
He's back.
I can't believe it, man.
Rip City!
It's nuts. It's just nuts.
It is pretty wild. It still hasn't quite. And I don't know if it'll take maybe seeing him in a Blazer uniform, if it'll be the first, TV interview that he does with Brooke Olsendam. It's going to take a while for this one to, sink in. Of like, oh, that's right. Because it's one thing to see the videos and to know that he's there. The first game that he runs out of the tunnel is going to be pretty wild.
Well, I ask you this, though. I'm sure we have examples that I don't know of or I don't remember. The first game of the season, they usually do, the whole team in the lineup thing.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Like the whole roster gets introduced?
Just for the first game, and then it becomes just the starting five, if my memory serves correctly.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Have we ever had a player in a suit get the loudest ovation by a galaxy mile than we're going to have a night? Like, I'm going to this game.
The answer is no, you have not.
I don't know what weeknight it's going to fall on this year, if it's a Tuesday, if it's a Wednesday, a Thursday.
You got to be there.
But I'm going to go because even though he's not playing, I know it's going to be the loudest ovation when they say his name, and is he in street clothes?
You get the letter O. Well, he will be in street clothes, and it will be the letter O, and that building, the roof might blow off of it.
I had two people separately. Two people text me separately yesterday at different points and basically echo, I'm going to a game to just see him sit on the bench.
Just to look at him in the flesh.
So, I was texting.
Those are the vibes right now.
I was texting with Danny. I was like, they're going to sell a lot more tickets this year.
It's a great business plan. That's for sure.
There's no doubt the interest of, even though he's not playing, just seeing him sit in street clothes, watch him walk out. People are going to cheer when he walks out, chewing gum. They definitely are going to capitalize on that one.
This has been a week where the roller coaster emotions have been extreme because we did a segment, what was it, on Tuesday? Whatever day the Adam Silver quote came out of they need a new arena.
It was Tuesday,
and it's our preference that the team stays in Portland. And that's a little alarming using the word preference, and we need a new stadium. And I'm not loving the tone that I'm hearing from the league right now.
Sure.
To go from, are we leaving to Seattle, to Damian Lillard is back in 48 hours is a hell of a roller coaster of emotions. And they might too coincide of uh-oh, we need to put a few more butts in the seats. Let's bring the letter O back, because that'll put the butts in the seats.
Well, I think you'd be completely misguided. This is my opinion. I think you'd be really misguided if you don't think this matters for that conversation.
Oh, it absolutely does.
Because you've got one of the more popular players a city in that league has had.
Yeah.
I don't know where he ranks on the all-time pantheon. I know at least he's in the top 75 players of all time. But when you go franchise guys, this is part of that conversation that I think a lot of outside people kind of miss. And some even people in market don't agree with it. But when we say franchise player, when he left, you could certainly say, well, guys, he wasn't the all-time Blazer, so he never got to a finals, and he never won the title, so it's Bill or it's Clyde. Certainly understand it. If you go just from a talent standpoint, it's Clyde.
Yeah.
It's Bill. But the part that people miss was the identifying with a city and the really embracing of not wanting to leave. And even when he left, it was, if we're just being honest, kind of a forced situation.
The Blazers forced his hand. He never wanted to leave town.
Because they wouldn't want to be the ones to be like, they traded their guy.
No.
It was more like, we're just going to build a situation that makes it pretty obvious you're not winning.
Yeah, they didn't want to be the bad guy, and they made him be the bad guy.
And yeah, there were feelings that were hurt there, and they've mended those fences, obviously. But this is part of why that conversation isn't ridiculous. Like, I've heard some of the national podcast guys, the Simmons of the world, it's Clyde, it's so stupid. It's like, buddy, you don't live here. You don't understand what... How do you not understand what goes into a franchise player? It's not just the success. It's also, we're Portland. We don't win a lot.
No.
We don't get nice things.
We don't have a lot of guys who actually want to be here.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who was moving back to Portland just to rehab his injury. Whether he signed here or not, he was going to be here for the next year.
Dude, I forgot this until I heard Richmond say it. That guy made COVID not matter in Portland, Oregon, USA, because you remember we weren't allowed to have fans, and he was like, this is bull.
Yeah.
And they reversed their stance on it.
They did.
And we're
put some people in the stands, please.
They were like, yeah, let's ignore science for the basketball game.
Damian Lillard said so. We're gonna put butts in the
Dame
seats.
Said so. Yeah. Like that's real, you know, power there. Yeah. That's weight that you carry in a city. So that was always part of the equation. And now that he's back after just what, two seasons. You know, it's right back in that conversation for people.
It is so spot on because if you're looking at the greatest player in Blazer history, like the most talented, it's unquestionably Peak Walton. Peak Walton won an MVP.
Peak Walton probably wins multiple
titles.
He won
an NBA title. Like, he's clearly the best player of the history of the Blazers.
Right.
And he's the best we've ever seen. Longevity-wise, no. But from a peak performance standpoint, nobody has matched what he's done. But when it comes to the emotional tie, that's one of the things that does make our market unique. And it also is just kind of a rarity nowadays in the NBA. Like, how many guys, currently speaking, have that level of an emotional pull with a single city and a fan base? And there just isn't that many of them left because a lot of guys in that league bounce around. And so even after he left for 2 years, it wasn't that long. He's back, and the emotions are still fresh for a lot of fans in this area. And so it's almost a dying breed in the entire league, and then you add on top of it how unique our market is and our inability to sign stars and our inability to get guys to want to say, I want to be in Portland, I want to play in Portland. He is the outlier in all of that in our history.
Yeah.
And so that's always what has been the connecting tissue between our city and him as a star player.
I mean, Bill did a great job, I think, at the end, not his life per se, but like his broadcasting career, re-identifying with the city and kind of connecting again. But the playing days, like once he left, it was sour. Clyde, I mean, Clyde's on the record of basically, I hate this administration or ownership group.
Yeah, when they sell, I'll be back around. But until then, I'm not going to be back around.
Right. So like, that's not in a great spot, right? Like, this is kind of it for them.
Yeah.
I'd point to when you go around the league, guys drafted that are committed. It's why I didn't really bat an eye at the Devin Booker extension. I know Phoenix is kind of a joke to people right now, but like, they gave him that big deal. He's going to make $70 million a year, and they're like, oh, I don't know if it's worth it. I'm like, why are we not understanding what it means to a city, a fan base, and also the other side, the player liking where they're at.
Yeah,
of just,
and wanting to be there.
This matters.
Yep.
And $70 million by the time he starts making it, what, that's going to be pretty normal, I would imagine,
for most stars
in the league. So,
in the NBA, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's not a lot of it going on in the league right now. Devin Booker is kind of your Maybe Anthony Edwards has this with Minnesota.
You probably got
crossed.
That. You got Curry and Golden State,
Curry
obviously.
Golden State, right.
It's
yeah,
probably the prime one. Yep. Outside of that, I mean.
You don't got it a lot.
You got young guys who I don't think you can throw into that category yet of meeting to their city because they haven't been there that
long. They need
long.
To go through the test of
the
time,
ups
right?
And the downs.
Yeah,
like Giannis go, is yes. this way in Milwaukee,
yeah,
but
Giannis,
that's clearly
Steph,
on thin ice.
Devin Booker, there's not a lot of them in the league. And so.
No. You would have said Luka and Dallas, and no longer would you say that.
That wasn't his choice, though.
No, it was not.
Yeah, it was a special moment. It was crazy. We have a lot to get into today. I saw that you teased the phone lines in a tweet.
Yeah, are we opening the phone lines today? Swag wants to open the phone lines today.
We've never opened the phone lines in our show
history. In the history of our show,
we've
never
closed them, but we don't open.
If there was any day, like...
If Swag's the one that has to take on the extra grunt work, so if he's willing to do it,
usually the biggest thing is people just going off topic. This, I think, is the one topic that will keep our listeners and people to call in staying on.
The funny thing would be Duck fan calling in, being like, hey, I got things on Dame. Guys, I'm so happy about Dame. It kind of reminds me of Dan Lanning. You know Dan Lanning's going to talk to the media next week. What do you guys think of the Ducks?
What do you make of Dante Moore and his candidacy to be the starting quarterback at Oregon?
I had sent somebody yesterday who was like, well, here's your content the rest of the summer. And I said... You don't know duck psychos. They're going to be
coming.
Out next week.
It's coming next week. All right. We're going to have a big floating duck. There's going to be a laser light show. There will be something going on next week. Here's what I will say before we go. We've got a lot to get to today.
Yeah.
I would like to give a sincere and genuine, no matter how you feel about my opinions, the moves, what the outcome will be, a sincere and genuine thank you to the Portland Trail Blazers because we have been doing this for a long time now. What, 12 years, 13? I don't know. Who the hell knows, right?
Yeah, somebody noted how long we'd done it the other day, and I'm like, damn, has it been that long?
It's been a long time, buddy. We're getting old.
Yeah.
We have had a lot of off seasons in this market where it's been...
Crickets. Robert Covington.
Not a lot to talk about, and not a lot to get the people excited. The Blazers, I feel like, are dropping a bomb on us every other week
at
this
point. It's been
nice. Anthony Simons traded. Whoa, we react to it. You draft a Chinese center that nobody's ever heard of.
Kami Jokic.
Oh, you got Drew Holiday back. What? That doesn't make sense, but I'm kind of excited about it.
Yeah.
DeAndre Ayton bought out, and now, of course, this. Like, thank you to the Blazers for the content machine that they have been this offseason.
Well,
what does it all mean? I don't know, but it's damn good content.
Cronin's a P1. He understands. Like, look, those guys don't always agree with everything, but I enjoy listening. I'm going to give him some content. I appreciate that,
give
Joe.
Give him something to talk about. Thank you, Joe.
All right. Well, let's get it going. Let's talk more about this. Damian Lillard has made his return to Portland, and it was quicker than most thought. Let's talk about it next. Dirt and Spray, good to be with you on this Friday on The Fan. Come back home, indeed. Damian Lillard yesterday and the Trailblazers agreed to a 3-year, $42 million deal. It is the mid-level exception, essentially. He's going to make $14 million a season. And I still haven't been able, I'm not a big cap guy. My, you know, I have Blazer fans in my life that are always talking cap stuff. And I'm just like, huh? I'm not a big numbers cap guy. I know when it's good. I know when it's bad. We can bring it up when it matters. I don't dive into it fully. So I saw multiple people that he is going to make $70 million this year.
Buyout from the Bucks plus $14 million. Because what was his salary in Milwaukee? Well, 57?
So that's what I thought it was. But then I have people in my life that are cap nerds. Like, it's like what their hobby is. And they're like, no, he's not. I'm like, dude, it's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, his cap number's not going to be that in Portland because they're obviously not paying the other contracts.
No. They just refuted. Like, he's like, isn't it 20-some from the Bucks? And I go, no, I think there was the buyout number of 50.
Yeah, they stretched it. When you buy him out, you can stretch it out as it counts against the cap. But in terms of cash that's being paid to Damian Lillard.
It's going to be $70 million to not play basketball.
Two different things.
Yeah, two very different things. The cap number that they – because what's it, $20 million for the next 3 years for the Bucks?
$22 million for 5 years.
It fluctuates a little bit, Keith. Smith said, but yeah,
it goes up and
down.
So they did that to get out of the contract in terms of a cap relief. But yeah, in terms of like rehabbing an Achilles injury, dude's going to be making a lot of money this year.
Those hard days, he's going to be like $70 million to go through a little pain today.
That's without playing a single game because he will not play a single game
this
year.
Get that out of your minds, by the way. Let's just set the table on that. Not playing a second this season.
You're looking at about 15 months until the run out of the tunnel happens.
Yep.
It's a little over a year. But that's if you could get paid to not have to play games, that's a good gig. And he's going to have a good gig this year rehabbing from the Achilles injury.
Yeah. What was your first just general
shock, to be honest with you? I was shocked.
Really?
I was shocked. I was genuinely shocked. We talked about it when he was bought out in Milwaukee. This has been a thing that people have, wondered, could we bring him back? It'd be great to have him back.
Mm-hmm.
I just, from a roster construction standpoint, after you made the Anfernee Simons trade and brought in Drew Holiday, I didn't see it happening. And I, you know, there are, you know, random rumor mill stuff out there that he would love to come back and he was going to be here anyways. That part of the reason Milwaukee bought him out was because he said he wanted to spend the year rehabbing in Portland and he didn't want to be in their facilities because he wanted to be close to his family and to his kids. So a lot of that stuff was kind of shaping up as in I didn't really see it. You had already added a veteran guard in the offseason who is 30-something years old, making $37 million, and he was going to be your veteran presence, your championship presence for your young guards. Like, that role seemingly was already taken up on the roster with a guy making a lot of money. And that's where it just, I had a hard time seeing it actually happening and coming together. I completely get it from his angle. I totally get why fans are excited, and there's definitely a part of me that's jacked about seeing him in a Blazer uniform again.
Oh, yeah.
But from the outset reaction, I got to admit, I was genuinely shocked. One, because of how quickly it happened,
yep.
And we went from, like, this isn't not, even a thing, yeah. To, oh, my God, he signed a three-year $42 million deal. But also just from a, I didn't see how it was going to fit roster-wise, and that's why I didn't see it happen.
Yeah, the thing about this to me, because I totally hear what you're saying on the locker room stuff with Drew, like the mentor thing. And look, I said when they got Drew, I think sometimes that stuff is a little, we overrate that. I think there are guys that are definitely good dudes and they'll help. I have always viewed it the opposite way. It is up to the young player to make that mentor thing a real thing because it's a business.
Yep.
And these guys are their own entities. They've got their own lives. Like, they're not all in it to just be the coach in waiting, you know, player guy. And Chris Paul, SGA, is often cited, and that was what people pointed to with the Drew trade. This move yesterday to me, aside from being like, okay, this is the real Zach Lowe Twitter account. I'm not being butt-cracked sports. Somebody didn't retweet this on my time. Like, I had to verify like 8 times in 2 seconds that was the real Zach Lowe. I kept clicking the account, going back, clicking the account, going back. And I'm like, okay, Zach Lowe saying it's happening.
Quadruple check that one.
This, to me, is evident of something that Portland has obviously been lacking, and it's not been reported very well, and we need to be honest about it, and I want to tell you what that is on the other side with Damian Lillard and what it means to me of bringing him back at this point. I'll tell you what that is next on The Fan. So I was saying before the break there, Damian Lillard back in Portland. It happened a lot sooner than most. Actually, I would say everybody thought it would. It was an obvious thing to naturally, when he gets the buyout, say, hey, Dame, Portland, reunion coming. Everybody was thinking that. I loved people that were like, I think Isaiah Thomas, the UW one.
The younger Isaiah Thomas.
God, it's weird how you have to like...
You have to, yeah, classify which one.
Yeah, the UW Isaiah Thomas. The better Isaiah Thomas.
Oh.
Well, look up the past of the other Isaiah Thomas.
Look, the past isn't great. Are we talking a better player, better person?
Right.
Yeah.
He tweeted out something like, my boy called it. Yeah, dude. Like, everybody and their mom was like, Dame, Portland, come back, make it happen.
Yeah.
But it happened a lot sooner. And, you know, I had somebody like, hey, what are your thoughts? And I'm like, this happened 10 minutes ago. If you're coming out with like a hard line, this, and that.
Right.
I don't feel like you're allowing yourself any room to think.
No.
Right? You're just going off vibes and emotion.
You got to let it breathe a little bit.
Which, totally, let the emotions flow, feel happy about it. It's a great day in that sense. One thing I kept coming back to in thinking about it was, yeah, the Dame reunion, it means something for the city. Obviously, the franchise, it mattered to them, and Dame wants to be back near his kids. It all makes sense. There is an element of him being signed that stuck out to me along with what they've done this offseason that I kept saying, I think that's part of it. It's there's more to it than one single thing outside of he's the franchise guy. Who did they buy out a couple weeks ago?
DeAndre Ayton.
Got him the hell out of here.
They did.
Now, locally, people would tell you, DA's fine. DA, there's no problems with DA. But what was the narrative when they bought him out?
that he wasn't as all in as he needed to be as a star.
Jason Quick wrote it, was like, he's late. He's late to planes. He's late to rehab.
Can't get down an icy driveway.
Can't be the only one to not get into a game during an ice storm. Yeah. DeAndre Ayton was DeAndre Ayton, okay? Now, good luck to the Lakers. They bought him out. They did not choose to move him. They could not find anybody to take on that last year of his contract. By trading for Jrue Holiday and now signing Damian Lillard back into Portland 2 seasons after trading him, I think it is abundantly clear. I would not label that locker room broken last year, but I think this is clearly a huge directive of Chauncey, of Joe, of the franchise, in saying, we need the locker room absolutely buttoned up. And I mean no disrespect by this, but even for people that went into that locker room in our gig, I don't think that is an example of you knowing what the locker room is. I think part of this, it's not the big, it's not all of it. Part of signing Damian Lillard right now versus waiting, to me, is about, let's button this locker room up more. Let's get even more leadership. We're going to buy, let's get DA out of here. He's not really a leader. He doesn't care about anything. He's living his life. Let's get a guy that cares, is invested, and will help the younger players on this roster anytime they need it. And to me, getting Dame in this quick, part of that was locker room.
Yeah, I mean, you think to the team last year, who was the leader on the team last year? They like, did. Who would you say was even supposed to be that role? Because Anthony Simons was never going to be that.
No.
That just is not in his DNA.
Jeremy's a very quiet guy. So, no.
DeAndre Ayton is
definitely not
the kind of guy that's going to lead your team. And then the other players you have, Kamara's only in his second year in Portland. Yep. Danny Avdia's in year one.
Also the new guy.
And then you have two young guards who you're trying to build around they're not quite in that role
Tease,
yet.
But even Tease to me is like a role locker room guy.
Sure,
he didn't
play last year. Right. He wasn't even in the lineup for 90% of the season. And so that was a gaping hole for something that they desperately needed. And I will agree with that take 100%. I also think I think it's fair to point this out, you can feel however you want about the signing. And despite all the tweets that have been sent to me in the last 24 hours, I'm not going to dump all over this today. I totally get the positive and the happy and overjoyed reaction to it. I also think you're kidding yourself if you don't think part of this offseason for them has been about what is the biggest goal for the ownership group in the next 12 months. Mm. And that's to sell the team. They have now added a player in the draft who looked good again last night in Summer League.
Yeah, he had a nice little game for himself.
Added
man.
Who knows how much international interest in your organization.
China is there big. Casey Holdall's famous.
Dozens and dozens and dozens of Chinese reporters following you around in Summer League who will be all over the Moda Center. Mm-hmm. People will be watching your games, talking about your team. Like, that is massive in terms of international interest, and basketball is definitely an international sport.
Yep.
And one of the other things, and this is honestly when you tease it in the last segment where I thought you were going to go, they, since he left, now it's only been 2 years, so it's not that big of a sample size, but since he left, you have had nothing that has come close to a face of the franchise player.
No.
You have had nothing that comes close to a guy who's going to put butts in the seats that people want to go buy a ticket to watch. Like, you're going to have your diehard Blazer fans who are there night in and night out who will ride with you no matter what you're doing and what moves you're making. But what you have desperately been missing is that piece that you can build around. And Dame, I don't think at this point in his career is that anymore. But the part of that role that he can still fill is the guy that will put butts in the seats, because the attendance will be through the roof this year.
Yep.
And then you fast forward 15 months from now when he's actually back in the lineup and playing, and that arena will be packed night in and night out. And so I think that's another part of this that is absolutely, if you're giving Jody credit, brilliant on her part, that all of a sudden the interest in the organization, ticket sales, TV ratings, international interest, all of that is up significantly from where it was at the end of the year. We joked how many times last season, we did this with the Kamara all defensive stuff.
Yeah.
People aren't watching the Blazers. So if you didn't put them on your first team all defense, like, unless you're an in-the-know NBA writer, you were an out-of-sight, out-of-mind organization in the league. That is not necessarily the case anymore.
Well, there's certainly the talk of the league right now.
Certainly a talking point.
I've heard some thoughts and opinions already from people outside of our market, and it's a bit of a, this is a great day for the fan base. Also, what are they doing?
Yeah.
I think, look, there's a lot to get into with this, but I do think there are two sides to the coin.
For sure there are.
The heads part of the coin is obvious. It is emotional. It means a great deal. I don't even know how many examples that you guys have thought of I couldn't come up with a lot of this situation happening in sports in general. The guy who was clearly the franchise player had done everything asked of him, had been given no real substantial help.
Nope.
He got a combo guard. That was the best they ever did for him.
They refused to trade.
Outside of LaMarcus, yeah. That era.
And that was, what, 2 years with LaMarcus?
And
LaMarcus
that was a few
left.
Years with LaMarcus, yeah. And then he was gone. And it was like, after that, it was like, hey, here's some real fringe role guys and a combo guard.
Here's
good luck.
Carmelo Anthony and Robert Covington.
And the dude planted roots here. His whole family is here. His brother's coaching high school. His family has businesses here. He's built his entire mansion empire here. He wants to be here. Well, the franchise doesn't follow suit. He leaves. And he's only gone two seasons, and albeit an injury led to it, but he comes back two seasons. Like, I couldn't come up with another example close to this, because usually those guys, they sign the one-day contract and retire.
Yeah.
They don't come back this quickly. Now, again, the injury does matter here, but I couldn't come up with a lot of examples of this situation happening.
Not a lot of them.
But all I kept coming back to yesterday, after putting the emotions of all of it aside, is you don't get Drew Holiday and Damian Lillard. You don't do that unless you care about the locker room. And so I don't know what reporting is going to come out through this. I'm imagining a great Jason Quick piece is going to be written. But to me, it stood out maybe amongst all the other stuff. They really need that leadership right now. And they really value it to the point of saying, our full mid-level? Sure.
Give it to him. He's not going to play this year, but that's okay. Because what he will provide in the locker room is bigger than what somebody could provide on the floor.
Yeah.
That's essentially what they're saying.
Him being in that locker room mattered so much to them this season. And it is an obvious pivotal season for our two young players.
This is it.
Which we need to talk about that part of it.
Yep.
That they just said, yep, worth it. It's a slam dunk for the fans. It makes us look incredibly, you know, bright to everybody of like, look, we care. We love it.
Yeah, it makes them look savvy too, because they got a lot of the pieces that they got in the Damian Lillard trade, and now they added him back to it.
I mean, they got Drew and Dame back.
Yeah,
the whole trade. Dame's traded. Here comes Drew. Now Drew's traded. And two seasons later, we got them both. And we got the other stuff.
We got all the other
which
stuff.
Which we can
too.
Go through that today, because yeah. Hey, you got to give it to Cronin at least on that of, hey, look at that. That was good maneuvering.
For sure.
And it worked out for them with the injury, unfortunately. But yeah, I just yesterday, I'm like, this is a big locker room move, man. And they can say the locker room wasn't awful, and that's fine. I'm not saying it was. I have no reporting on that. But what I will say is you don't get Drew Holiday and Damian Lillard unless you care a great deal about your locker room being buttoned up, professional, and having the right leadership and voices in it. And I think it's clear as day that was a big priority for them.
And that was Dame for a decade. That's who he was. That's what he meant to this organization. And they have not been able to replace that since he left. And now he's back.
A lot more to get into. I do. I have a lot more notes on the Damian Lillard front. We got the roster part of it. One opinion that I read that I was like, yeah, also, yeah. And I think it's fair to say that today, but your emotions are welcome at the fan text line, 503-864-6326. I don't know, like the phone lines being open, all that stuff. We don't normally do that here on the fan.
Open them up, baby. Open them up.
You want to open the phone lines.
I want to hear from Bob in Milwaukee.
I'd love to hear from Bob in Milwaukee. Dave and Gresham.
Frank in Hillsborough. Give
Stephen
us a call.
Stephen Beaverton. Wherever you're from.
We've never done that in the history of our show.
Ralphio from Southeast Portland. Like, whatever. Whoever.
It'd be a fun experiment for a day. It really would.
Where's the farthest we get a call from?
Oh, good question.
You know?
We had people commenting on our YouTube yesterday that they were finding ways around the YouTube ban in China. Now, I don't know if they're watching live, but
oh,
if we got a call
so
from
good.
China, that would be fantastic.
They hacked the YouTube.
They hacked. I don't know if you change your like server address. I don't know how any of that stuff works, but people were saying we're finding a way through.
Hey, Bill in Newport, go. Hey, guys. Weather's pretty good down here. Tide's coming in.
Looking out at the coast right now. Can you believe this?
Text line is the call-in number, too. It's the same. Same, same.
Same, same.
There's no different number there. More on the Dame Lillard return next on The Fan. We'll get to a lot today. I think we will eventually have some non-Dame Lillard stuff. T.J. Watt signed a pretty big contract. Is that a contract that's going to age well? And the CEO has responded in typical CEO fashion. This is your fault, not my fault.
That was a fun day on the internet.
That was a great day on
the
internet.
Like, a lot of times the internet's a cesspool and it's not a great place to be and you want to get off it as quickly as you possibly can. When stories like that break and we all kind of come together and make fun, then you find out the backstory and people dig into it and we know the details. Like, yeah, dude, that was really fun.
Private moment.
I'm glad his life's falling apart.
Sorry, I was
a
sleazebag.
You're at a concert with 40,000 people. I mean, how is that private?
People are now putting memes together of the guy holding something, but like putting different graphics and logos. Like a lot of, I saw Blazer fans doing it with like Rip City, and then Damian Lillard was the girl in the front.
Collins, what is it? The Volume?
The Volume, yeah.
Twitter account did that with the Blazers and Dame, and I'm like, doesn't really make sense. He's cheating. So like they duck out of each other.
Yeah, you just, you know, you're holding them cheating. Tight. You're holding them tight. I think we're throwing away the cheating thought and just it's true love.
Aren't
Brandon.
We supposed to be married here? No, we just had a break and we're back together. We had some counseling. We're good.
We weren't married at the time. Now we're married again.
Who do you think started the conversation when Joe showed up to Dame? Because Chris Haynes is reporting that a week or two ago, Joe showed up to the Dame estate and basically they squashed whatever feelings they had that were negative in any way. I'd say it was more Dame's side than it would be Joe. Joe's operating from a business perspective. Who started the conversation just in general? So Dame. Or was it Dame like, what do you want, Joe?
What's up, Joe?
Or,
what do you need?
Hey, Joe.
What are you doing here?
I miss you.
Should we take the jet skis out? Let's go out on the lake. What do you think? How does that sound?
I'm going to go on that lake.
I think when you're the guy who is the leader of the breakup, as in causing it to happen, you have to be the one that has the mea culpa and the, hey, good to see you again. And that would be Joe Cronin. Joe Cronin was the one that caused the divorce
to happen. So he walks in, he takes his shoes off,
of course.
He's
got to take the lead in the debate, or not the debate, but the discussion about rejoining forces.
I have you having to take shoes off at Damian Lillard's house.
Yeah, I agree with that take.
I mean, the shoes off thing is somehow controversial to people, but it's not.
It should be an automatic take your shoes off.
Thank you.
When you go into somebody's
house. When somebody walks to my kitchen with their shoes still on,
yeah.
I'm like, yo.
Yeah, we have got a little sign on our front porch, too, that says, mahalo for taking your slippers off. We got it in Hawaii.
Oh.
Like, haha, get it? Slippers, mahalo.
Yeah.
And some people still leave their shoes on.
Very weird.
Very weird.
Yeah. Here is the trade, by the way, the Dame trade.
Yeah.
So they trade him to Milwaukee and everything that's happened since then. Let's just revisit it. Okay, it's finalized. Dame signed back. They got Drew Holiday back for Ant. Didn't have to give two seconds for the injury medical stuff.
No, the 2 seconds got taken off of that deal.
Rob Williams is still here. They then used Malcolm Brogdon and other stuff to get Denny Avdija. They used Yusuf Nurkic to convince Phoenix to throw in Tumani Kamara, who just made all defensive team. They got multiple first-round picks, a pick swap. I would say that trade worked out rather well for Portland.
Without a doubt.
It all ended up working out.
The only missing piece was probably not dealing Robert Williams at the time that they should have dealt him when he was healthy for a 2-week stretch. Because that's really
last offseason. They should have traded.
That was the last time when you're like, yeah, he should have probably capitalized on that one because the guy can't stay healthy to save his life. And I don't know when he's going to play this year and how often he's going to play this year. But that's the only missing ingredient of it for me.
I haven't agreed with all the roster decisions. And we've certainly been critical when I think it's warranted. And we've been complimentary in other moments where I think it's warranted. You know what? I had a takeaway yesterday because somebody else asked me, hey, what do you think of Cronin so far? And I think my answer is this. Good dude. Much better to deal with than Neil.
Without
for
a
sure.
Doubt. Without a doubt.
Better tempered. I think that job is hard. And like I still have roster questions, and we can get into that part in the second hour, which I want to. There are some things I'm still kind of confused on. I don't think it's as cut and dry as they're just going to be the duplicate of this team.
No.
I think there's things that make me go, what? Nah, I don't know. I think that job's hard. And I think pointing to Sam Presti and going, just be Sam Presti. I'd say, well, the rest of the league can't be Sam Presti.
No. And Sam Presti wasn't Sam Presti for 15 years.
So I think it's kind of been a mixed bag for me.
Yeah.
Where I appreciate the person, Joe Cronin, but the job of Joe Cronin has been like some ups, some downs. Some what's and some, oh, okay. That's not a great answer, but it's kind of, I think my takeaway is that job's hard.
Well, it's the reality in a lot of this stuff that it's not always black or white, and there's always a gray area balance in between. And
yes.
I think, you know, we've had a lot of texts come in, and I don't know if we'll actually end up opening the phone lines or not. We'll see as the show goes on how it goes.
Well, it's up to people to also have the stones to call in.
To call in and share. And
you
people are saying
text.
They will, but that's
okay.
A whole different
all
thing
right,
than
well,
we actually
see.
Open them up. So we'll wait and see on that. But I think there is a gray area that a lot of fans reside in today, and it'll be curious to see how it all plays out for them.
Let's talk about the roster stuff of this. this in the second hour. We have a lot to get to. Hour 2, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan, the Odyssey app, and YouTube.